You're listening to the Life Church Livonia podcast, a show where you can hear the teachings from our weekend gatherings. You can catch the full service on our Facebook or YouTube, and head over to our website if you'd like to give. Here we're real people following a real God and experiencing real life. Welcome to Life Church Livonia. Church Livonia. Let me see those rock fists in the chat, okay? Give me those emojis, people. Use them. My name is Alex. I'm on staff here at Life Church Livonia, and this, my good friends, is a Gibson Les Paul Jr. in vintage satin sunburst. This is an icon of rock and roll history used by the likes of people like Leslie West, John Lennon, Keith Richards, Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day, Social Distortion, and Switchfoot, just to name a few. I was first inspired by the sounds of this instrument on the Switchfoot albums Hello Hurricane and Vice Versus. As many of you know, I play in a band outside of church called the Timbre of Cedar. And about 6 years ago, when we were starting the band, I had a little problem, you see. I have this big, beautiful, blonde, hollow body electric guitar. If you've seen, if you were at church before COVID, you've definitely seen me play that instrument. And it's one of my favorite sounds. It's a beautiful instrument, but when we were playing shows out with the Timbre of Cedar, it was prone to feedback and this kind of howling, woo, kind of unintentional sound that made it difficult to play things. So I needed to get a new guitar to play out in this band. Amber and I were recently married. We had some leftover wedding money, and so I asked her if I could purchase this dream instrument with some of that money, and she said yes. So I consider this a wedding present from myself and from my wife. I got it, and at first I was ecstatic, but as I played it more and more, there were just a couple things I knew I wanted to change. For example, I wanted to change the pots. These are called potentiometers. This is what makes the electric guitar make sound. This is where the volume and the tone pass through in order to go out to the amplifier. So I didn't have a lot of money, though, and I knew it was going to cost money to get these things done. So I decided to kind of figure it out and do it myself. So I changed the pots on this bad boy. And then it wouldn't stay in tune very well because the kind of bridge that came on it. This is called the bridge of the electric guitar right here. And so I bought a different bridge and I installed this one myself. And then I sanded the finish off the back of the neck just to give it a cool look and a nice feel. But I was making these little improvements and things were improving incrementally. But there were still some things I knew I wanted to change. And after doing a little bit of research, I decided to change the nut of the instrument. This right here is called the nut. The nut is really important. The nut and the bridge are where on an electric guitar, the strings hold their tension. It's the strings connecting points to the body of the instrument. And so those are the pieces of material that pass the vibrations of the strings into the body of the guitar, helping to pick up that sound and then moving out from the output jack to the amplifier. It came with a plastic nut, and the plastic nut just made the high strings a little too piercing, made the low strings a little too dull. And so I knew I was going to change the nut, but I also knew I was probably going to have to do it myself. So I did the necessary research. You know, I watched a bunch of YouTube videos. I looked on forums. I talked to my friend Sean May, legendary guitar tech at Guitar Center. Shout out, Sean. And I kind of gathered the resources I thought I would need and the information I thought I'd need, and then I went for it. So I cleared a flat space in our first apartment, which our first apartment didn't have a lot of flat spaces. We had our kitchen table and our washer dryer. Amber wouldn't let me use the kitchen table, so I just plopped this thing up on our washer dryer, and I'm following the instructions on this YouTube video, right? So I'm like, okay, score around the nut with a blade. Okay, got that, yeah. All right, and then you take a little block of wood, I used a small level and a hammer, and just give it a little tap, and the video, it pops right off, no big deal. And mine, I'm like, okay, score around the wood, okay, little tap, nothing. Doesn't move a bit. I go, okay, well, let me try again. Score around the nut, a little blade there, and then blade, and then small tap, nothing again. 2 hours later, I find myself 8 YouTube videos deep holding a small miniature screwdriver, hammering it into the wood underneath my nut as like a makeshift chisel, and I'm eating away at the wood here, pounding on my washer and dryer in my upstairs apartment, and in just like nervous shambles. That day did not end very well. It ended with the nut in multiple pieces and a bunch of wood chipped away at the bottom of the slot in the guitar. I ended up having to take it to a professional luthier, a tech, who ended up having to fix my mistake and then install the new nut. You see, even though I knew the right thing to do, I had the right information, and I had a clear goal. I knew where I was going and where I was trying to get to. I lacked experience. I had not taken the time to grow in my abilities as a luthier. And so because I had skipped that important middle step, I ended up breaking the very thing that I set out to fix. What I needed in the luthier world is called an apprenticeship. I needed to sit with somebody who really knew how to do this and watch them do it 1,000 times and practice 1,000 times more. In the biblical world, we call that discipleship. And because I had skipped that important step of that discipleship, that growth, that apprenticeship, like I said, I ended up breaking the very thing I was trying to fix. As I've scrolled through the pages of social media, there's a lot of things that we want to fix right now. We want to fix the damage from COVID. We want to get back to some sense of normalcy. We want the masks and the roller coaster of quarantine and shutdowns to be over. We want to get back to a healthier state of life, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We want to fix the political realities in America. We want to fix both the policies and the politicians that have kept us stuck in negative cycles we're all a little sick of. Actually, this past week, just shout out, both of my small groups, Go Men, we prayed that the transfer of power on Inauguration Day would be peaceful and uneventful, and God answered our prayers. And so thanks for praying that with me, men. Other posts I've seen are not about fixing the political realities, but about fixing broken relational dynamics. COVID's put a lot of stress on stuff. That's no secret. If you're in a long-term relationship or maybe engaged or you're married, COVID has made most of us come face-to-face with issues in our relationships that we have tried to avoid or push down for many years. I mean, it's not working anymore. Some of us have broken family relationships now, estrangement and tension over the mask issues, over the quarantine decisions, over the political realities in our country. And for some of you, you feel like your singleness and loneliness, that's a problem you're trying to fix. That's something that you want to see change in this coming year. Some of us have financial issues that we're aching to fix, issues with our employment or lack thereof, issues with our bosses, issues with our coworkers, issues with our friends or our responsibilities. Some of you want to fix how school went this year, or you want to fix the way your district is trying to handle going back in person. But here's the deal. God agrees with you. The world is broken and the world needs to be fixed. And God has a vision and a plan and process for how to do that. He has a vision for all of life and he has a vision for your life. God made you on purpose for a purpose. And he has a special, unique way he wants you to participate in healing the world. But if you've already tried fixing people, if you've already tried fixing the political realities via Facebook, you know it's all too easy to end up like I did with that guitar. We end up breaking the very things we set out to fix. So the question today is, how do we heal the world instead of breaking it further? How do we heal the world instead of breaking it further? Well, this is week 3 of our series, A Vision for Life. Our church's theme verse and the theme verse for this series is John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you may have life and have it to the full." And that's Jesus speaking there. And that's where we get our name, Life Church. You were created by God for communion with him and community with people. In his word, God shows us a vision for life that we might experience this life to the full. And when we talk about God's vision for your life, what we're not talking about is some alternate path to happiness and fulfillment that you can take. What we are talking about is the very purpose for which you were made and the very way to live for which you were designed. That God has done these things on purpose, and He has designed you to experience and participate in the gift of life in certain ways. In Matthew chapter 13, we see Jesus teaching a group of people at the beach, and He tells a cautionary tale, a tale about four kinds of seeds. Three groups of these seeds miss God's vision for their life, and it ends in destruction and emptiness. But one group lives into God's vision for their life, and they participate with God in creating that abundant life. We're going to look at this scripture this morning because I believe that God has a word for us here about His vision for our life and about the way that He is trying to heal the world. And He's going to do it through you and me. So let's read in Matthew 13 here. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples come to Jesus after this and say, hey, listen, Jesus, real inspiring speech there. Love the story. What does it mean, though? And so He sits them down and says, guys, okay, come on. I'm going to explain it to you, but this is really important. And then Jesus says this. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, that's the gospel, and does not understand it, the evil one, meaning the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Amen. This is God's word. Here Jesus is describing the process and cautions of a process that we at Life Church call no, grow, go. The seed taking root is what it looks like to know God, to come to a life-saving, salvific relationship with Jesus because He has forgiven our sins and offers us life and life to the full. Three of the four seeds actually take root and come to know God, but the seed growing up into a plant, into something that actually has substance, is what we mean when we say to grow in God. And the seed producing fruit is what it looks like to actually go in God. So in this parable, Jesus lists four groups of people, four different kinds of seeds at different stages of this no, grow, go process. And He's inviting us in this to see ourselves in one of these groups. So we're going to look at the groups here. Group one has no. They don't come to know God. The enemy steals away the gift of the gospel, the word of God, before it can take root in their heart and actually change and make a difference. So the devil keeps them from hearing God's word. So group one, no. Group two, they got no, but no grow. Okay? These are people who have come to know God. They have a relationship with Jesus. They've accepted the free gift of salvation, but they don't last. This group doesn't grow into maturity in Christ, and more on that in a minute. Group three also has no, but no grow. So we got no, but no grow, but for a different reason, okay? Group three, different reason for no grow than group two, okay? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Group four actually lives into all three stages of this process and experiences life and life to the full, and they fulfill their purpose. They come to know Jesus in a life-saving relationship with him. They grow into full maturity and actually produce fruit that impacts the world 30, 60, or 100 times beyond their own life. That's amazing. That's God's vision for us. That's God's vision for you. And I just want to make something really clear. It's kind of baked into the parable itself. We're talking about purpose, and you're like, okay, what does seeds and fruit have to do with purpose? The purpose of a seed is to produce fruit. That's why it exists. So even though three of the four seeds know Jesus, only one group actually fulfills its purpose and accomplishes what it is set out to do. The thing that separates the seeds that produce fruit from those that do not is whether or not they deal with the barriers in the grow stage. So we're going to take a closer look at groups two and three to see what prevents them from growing in Christ and fulfilling their purpose in the world, because Jesus has some cautions here for us that are really important as we step into this new year. So group two is where we're going to start. We're going to read that scripture again. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. There are a couple things that are important to note here. This group doesn't grow into maturity because of inner world issues, issues that are beneath the surface of their life. These issues are things that aren't necessarily seen, right? The seed looks really good from the outside. They look like they've grown in Christ. It's like, wow, look at that thing. It's really standing up. But when it comes time to actually stick to something and be faithful in the commitment, their inner world doesn't support their outer world. Their root system isn't deep enough for them to withstand the sun. And so inner world issues like this can be a character issue. It can be something like not being able to manage your anger, lying or half-lying, living kind of deceptively to maybe maintain an image or not incur other people's disappointment. It can be a lack of discipline or perseverance. It can be low commitment, saying one thing and doing another. It can be unresolved trust issues that keep you from getting close to people. It can be a need for approval that is the motivation for our behavior, the way we dress, the way we talk, the things we like, the friends we have. It could also be a sin issue, something hidden that's not a blatant, obvious thing. It could be an addiction to pornography or masturbation. It could be a lack of sobriety in the way you choose to unwind at the end of the day. It could be some kind of gambling habit, some kind of secret sin that isn't apparent on the surface, but keeps you from developing roots. However, there are some other things that are a little bit harder to see and maybe a little bit less traditional in the inner world, and these are emotional spiritual issues. In his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Pete Scazzaro makes a list of 10 things that regularly stunt our inner world as we seek to grow in God. And I want you to listen to this list carefully, because this list really convicts me. Every time I hear it, it really convicts me. And my hope is that it will convict you too. So listen to this list carefully and see if you see yourself in any of these places. The first thing is using God to run from God. This is like what Jonah did in the book of Jonah. For example, maybe you get asked to serve in kids ministry and you go, I can't serve in kids ministry. God has called and gifted me to preach. You know, using one gifting is a way to run from something God might be asking you to do. Not saying that you have to serve in kids ministry, but often there are steps to these things. It might be needing to make a hard decision and saying that you haven't prayed about it enough just to avoid having to have the conversation. Number two is ignoring difficult emotions. Emotions like anger, sadness, fear, depression. When we ignore these things, it stunts our growth. Number three is dying to the wrong things. For example, dying to my hobbies and my friends and my time with my family instead of dying to my workaholism or selfishness or lack of rest. Number four is denying the past's impact on the present. Five is dividing our lives into sacred and secular compartments, where I do church things over here, but over here, I do more of what I want, and I talk like my friends talk and act like my friends act at work or at the gym. Number six is doing for God instead of being with God, that my spirituality is about what I do for God, not about being in his presence and receiving from him. Number seven is spiritualizing away conflict. Number eight is covering up our brokenness, weakness, and failure. Number nine is living without limits. And number 10 is judging other people's spiritual journeys. Every time I read this list, I feel conviction about more than one of these. One of them sticks out to me and hurts my gut a little bit. And if that's you, that's the Holy Spirit. If your heart jumped, maybe your heart sank. Maybe your stomach got tied. Maybe you got a little uncomfortable. That's the Holy Spirit coming to you and saying, hey, this is an area of growth. These kinds of inner world issues keep group two stuck in immaturity and in a dangerous place because the roots are deep enough to look good on the outside, but not deep enough to have a substance that endures difficulty like 2020. The second thing I notice about group two is the thing that kills the seed is actually the very thing that seed needs. The sun is what kills the seed. The seed needs the sun, though. It needs the sun for photosynthesis. That's how it survives. But its roots aren't deep enough to receive life from the sun. Instead, it can't take the weight of the sun's energy and cripples underneath it. Maybe asking yourself, well, what does that look like in the real world? Well, I've seen this a lot of times, and it's just one of the saddest, hardest parts of being a pastor to me. It looks like folks who start to follow Jesus but never really dig their roots deep into him, deep into his word, deep into prayer, deep into community at church, because they're so afraid that God is going to disappoint them or abandon them in some way, that it inevitably leads to some kind of offense that becomes a deal breaker. These are folks who are always dating God but never really married. Whether it's God's design for human sexuality that offends them, his love for all people regardless of their past or their sinfulness that offends them, his command to love our enemies and to pray for, not attack, those who persecute us. Maybe it's God's standard of righteousness or holiness or justice that offends them. But inevitably something comes up. And these folks end up looking for spirituality outside the church and are no longer looking for Jesus. The issues of the seed and the rocky soil, the issues that group two face are inner world issues that never get dealt with. And I just want to say one thing. All of us have inner world issues. Okay, if you have inner world issues, you're not doomed to end up like group two and be crushed by the sun. Not dealing with those issues, not growing through those issues, not growing in those issues, that's what makes us stay in group two for the long term. So this brings us to group three. I want to read their passage again. It says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. This group seems to have roots that are actually deep enough in their quiet time, their devotional life, their serving in church, their community. Their inner life can support their outer life. And it's not character issues or living in sin or a discipline issue that hinder this group from producing fruit. These seeds instead struggle with outer world priorities instead of inner world issues. The thing that kills group three is that there are just other things in their environment that block out the sun. The verse mentions the worries of life. These are pressures. These are anxieties. These are stressors that come to us day in, day out, week in, week out. These are your homework assignments, right? These are our appointments. These are our doctor's appointments. These are our balancing our schedules with our family, our bills, our grocery shopping, our parenting, our health, exercise, etc., right? These are the stressful parts of life, just the logistics that everyone has to face, just difficulties that nobody gets out of. Like Amber and I, you know, we totaled a car recently, And one of these things right now is we have to find a new car, but our schedules are kind of opposite, so we're struggling to find the time to do that. That's just one of those things, right? And this is the kind of thing I think that verse is talking about. But group three gets stuck because they prioritize minimizing and managing those stressors over the Son, over being with Jesus. They sacrifice their time with God for the sake of accomplishing these things, getting them out of the way, getting them done so they don't have to think about them anymore. And it ends up stunting their growth and keeping them unfruitful. The verse also mentions the deceitfulness of wealth. This doesn't just mean money. It's not just talking about hustling, right? This means physical possessions as well, not just money. And it means like power and strength. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, wealth is signified and symbolized in power and strength and influence and might. So these are the things, the verse is talking about things that give us that sense of security, material possessions that give us that sense of security. So it might be abstractly material things like a 401k, a good life insurance policy, being on a good advancement path in your career, getting all A's in school, etc. It could be something a little more physical, tangible, like the certain kind of car I drive, a gun collection I'm really proud of and know how to use well, a house that I live in, the neighborhood I live in, a hobby I'm invested in, the number in my bank account right now. And I would even include in this digital forms of security and validation, like the number of followers I have, the number of subscribers I have, the number of positive comments I get on my posts, and the number of likes that I get. Group three gets stunted by the outer world stressors and finding their security in things that aren't Jesus. This group lets those external things that provide security and validation block out the sun, and it withers the plant, keeping it from producing fruit. This is a dangerous place, a really dangerous place to be, because it can be so hard to spot. You slide into it gradually over time. No one just takes a dive in and gets an intervention with this, okay? Because it's not a blatant sin issue. It's just that I have other priorities that are blocking out Jesus. When I was working on my guitar, I wasn't patient to grow in my tools or experience I needed to modify the instrument, and I ended up breaking something very important to me. And then I had to pay for it. And if we neglect our growth as Christians, the same will happen to us. God's vision for your life is that you would be a seed in group four who comes to know the life-saving love of God, who grows in Him deeply. God wants you to move past group two, where you've dealt with the inner world issues, where your inner world is strong enough, is robust enough, is firm enough, is mature enough to handle the outward life. And He wants you to grow past just bowing to the stressors around you, of caving into what the schedule demands, or my boss demands, or my school demands, or my work demands, or my finances demand. And He wants you to move past needing those external things for validation and security, to where the sun is the only source of life that you're looking to, so that you might end up in group four and produce fruit that echoes 30, 60, or 100 times beyond your life. That's God's vision for your life. And if we neglect that, and we try to go and produce fruit without having our inner world straight and our outer priorities in alignment, we're going to break the very thing that we're trying to fix. The enemy would love to see you stay in groups one, two, or three. God's vision for your life is that you would experience more than that, that you would fulfill your purpose and live life and life to the full. And we want to equip you to do that here at Life Church Livonia. If you're a new believer and you've been following Jesus for like less than 2 years, I want you to know we have classes for you to go through to help you learn the basics of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, as well as to help you figure out how God designed you. What are the gifts He's given you that the church needs? What are the ways that He's shaped you to uniquely contribute to the world? And if you're a new believer, we want you to get involved in serving in some way, and you can sign up for a first serve, and we want you to get involved in community through a small group. If you're in group, in this group right here, if you're a new believer following Jesus for less than 2 years, I want you to message us on Facebook. Let us know in the comment section so we can get a hold of you and help you figure out how to continue to grow, to move from just knowing God to growing into maturity in Him. If you're a developing believer, you've been following Jesus for a couple of years, you know the basics of the Christian faith, you have an understanding of some of your spiritual gifts and the ways that God has made you, we really want you to get involved in a small group, and we really want you to get involved in serving. Because here's the deal. Small groups and serving are not our idea. They're Jesus's idea. We never see Jesus disciple somebody one-on-one. He's always doing it in a group between 3 and 12. And then he preaches to the masses, but when he's discipling his disciples, it's always in a group, and that's for a reason. And Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and we become like him by doing the same. So if you want to join a small group, we're posting a link right now in the comment section, whether you're on YouTube or Facebook, and we want you to click on that because that has all the options available for you. We really want everyone who knows Jesus in our church to be in a small group for this time, this winter, spring season. And if you're not serving anywhere, we want you to get involved and invested. And again, you can message us on Facebook. You're always welcome as well to reach out to us via our website or email us directly. That's fine too. As we move back in person, the number of serving opportunities we're going to have is going to grow immensely. And so stay tuned for that if you've already reached out and aren't sure where to serve yet. And lastly, if you're a developing discipler, you've been following Jesus for a while, you've been involved in serving in small groups for a couple of years, you have a good foundation, and you feel like you have something to give. And maybe you don't feel like you have something to give, but you have been involved in serving in small groups for a while, I'm telling you, you do have something to give. We want to talk with you about your calling. We want to help you discern, where is God going to move you, and how do we help develop you into that? Maybe it's time for you to lead a small group or be involved in greater leadership or responsibility in the ministry you're serving in. Because God doesn't want you to stay in groups 2 and 3. He wants you to move to group 4 where you produce fruit. That's his vision for all of us. So if you'd like to get involved in contributing to Life Church Livonia, not just consuming our content, we want to invite you to reach out. You can do that via Facebook, comment section, our website, email us directly. And lastly, maybe as I was speaking to you today, you found yourself in group 1. You don't know Jesus yet. And I want you to know that Jesus knows you and he's seeking you right now. That Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for your sins, putting death to death with him, putting sin to death with him, and rising to new life to offer you a life that is full and to introduce you to your purpose and your design. And if you want that right now, I just want you to pray with me. Lord, I give you my life. I don't want to stay stuck in group 2. I don't want to stay stuck in group 3, Lord. And I want to know you. I want to grow deeper in you. And Lord, I want to fulfill my purpose in this world. And I ask, Jesus, that you would move in me right now. Send your Holy Spirit. I surrender to you as Lord of my life. God, I ask that you would lead me and show me where to go from here. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you just prayed with us, if you're interested in growing more in Christ, I just want you to reach out to us on Facebook right now. God bless.